Okay, let's begin. Perek Chof Dalit, Pasik Tezva, Vayiskan Yehoyada, Vayispa Yamim Vayamos. Yehoyada's life comes to an end. Yehoyada, he is a legend in the history of Klal Yisrael, the annals of Klal Yisrael. He single-handedly preserved the Malchus of David. He, at great risk to his life, preserved the Malchus of David by hiding the last surviving descendant of David in the Beis HaMikdash for 6 years. And he gets quite a bit of credit. We mentioned many different midrashim that he was 130 years old. He lived a very long life, and he was already alive at the time of Shlomo HaMelech. When Shlomo HaMelech was born, and Shlomo HaMelech sinned by marrying the daughter of Paro and not tolerating Avodah Zarah, and it was decreed the Malchus of David would come to an end. That was, there are different midrashim exactly. Most, you don't get that picture from most of the Mepharshim that there was a decree that the Malchus of David would come to an end. The picture you get is that the Malchus would split for only a short number of years, only 26 years. But corresponding to the years that he was married to the daughter of Paro. But there appears the other Mepharshim that learned that it was a gzeira at that time that the Malchus of David would come to an end. And at that same moment in time he was born, Yehoyada was born to serve as the antidote to that gezerah to preserve the Malchus of David. We also mentioned that David was also guilty of sin. He was a cause of the death of the Kohanim of Noiv Ira Kohanim. And only because there was one survivor, Eviyasar HaKoyein, that's why Mida Keneged Mida, Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed one survivor from David's family to remain, Yoash, who was saved by this very great person, Yehoyada. Now he dies. Vayiskan Yehoyada, he dies. He gets old. Vayispa Yamim. And he was sated in days. He had a good life, it seems. He lived a very long life. Vayamos, he died. Ben Meo Shlashim Shana. Ben Moso, 130 years. Vayispa Yamim. You have
Zokainu
Sva Yamim. Yeah. Vayispa, well, you have Zokain. Vayizkan, where else? By Avraham. The Avraham Zokain. Bo Bayomim. Vayigva is to perish, right? Vayigva Vayamos. Vayosef Elamov. There are many words used in the Torah to describe death. Vayigva Vayamos. Vayosef. Here, I don't know. There are different expressions. We have three. Vayiskan, Yehoyada, Vayispa, Yamim, Vayamos, three expressions. He became old. He was sated in days, which seems to imply that he had a very satisfying life. Satisfied. Vayamos, he had a very distinguished son, Zechariah, was a tzaddik, was a navi, was a very distinguished person. Ben Meo Shoshana, Bimoso, he was 130 years old when he died. When he died, everything was good. Klal Yisrael was on the way up. They were going in the right direction. Vayikberu b'ir David im hamalach. Now this is fascinating. He was buried in Ir David with the kings. Why was he buried with the kings? He was not a king. So someone that he was married, he was related. He was related, even though he was the foster father of Yoash. So he had good connections. Or it could very well be that he was, I think I saw somewhere that he was related to the Malchus of Yisrael. He came from royalty. He also toiva be Yisrael. He did good be Yisrael. The Imbo Lakim Beiso with Hakadosh Baruch Hu Beiso and with Hashem's bias, referring to the King David, for David. Okay, two psukim that are very generous. You don't have such things in Tanakh. Where Tanakh is very generous, very gives high praise to a person, and he's from the select few that get this honorable mention in two psukim with no criticism. Even the good people, there's always criticism. Rak habamos lo hisir. And they were pretty good, 99%, but there's always, it sounds like an obituary in the New York Times, the Havdil, where, even if the person was the tzaddik, he said, Elon, there's always, you have to have balance. Balance always is a fraction of a percent. A fraction of a percent has to have the same validity as 50%. Right, but here there is no criticism. That's remarkable for Tanakh. Now things turn south. We'll read all the psukim till the end of the parak, then we'll go back, and there are a lot of interesting things in the Mefarshim, in the Mesudas, Rashi, in the Radak, in the Ralbag, one thing at a time. But let's read the psukim now, get a general idea of what's about to happen. After the death of Yehoyada, Bo Sarei Yehuda, the officers, the princes of Yehuda came by Yishtachavu Lo LaMelech, and they bow down to the king. Now, still, it's a very innocent statement. They bow down. They pledge their allegiance. Yehoyada died. The one that was guarding the supreme council of Yoyash is no longer alive. Yoyash is now on his own. And the people bow down to the king to pledge their allegiance. O Shama HaMelech Aleihem, the king listened to them, according to, we'll see inside some of the Mefarshim, it's a very innocent statement, that they pledged, they said, we're going to be good to you. We're going to pay taxes. We're going to follow your decrees. Whatever you tell us, we're going to do, but one condition. We also have demands. We also want things. We want a little avodah zarah, a little entertainment. You know, you be good to us, and we'll be good to you. What?
What's it called? Food and circus?
Food and circus?
No, it's called bread and circuses.
Bread and circuses, that's right.
Never heard it before. What does it say again? Bread and circuses?
Diversion. Provided diversion to keep the people's mind off of the government.
They made some type of arrangement. You be good to us, and we'll be good to you, and you be good to us. That's a very simple interpretation. However, we'll see Rashi learns a much deeper interpretation. When it says that they bowed down to the king, that wasn't just a etiquette. We pledge our allegiance. They worshipped him. They said to him, "You, Yoyash, you lived in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years." It says in the Pasuk of Cholzar, HaKarev Yumas, any outside who enters in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, people will die. And you live for 6 years in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nothing happened to you all these years. So it must be that you're a god. And they began to actually worship him. Now what's very strange is, if they're worshipping him, why then is it going to lead to Avodah Zarah? This touched upon the very powerful Chazal. Chazal tells us that the only reason why Klal Yisrael worship the eagle, or for that matter, the only reason why Klal Yisrael, or people throughout history, they worship gods, idols, is only so that they can engage in arayos.
Give license
to their own personal enjoyment, which this is something that we can relate to. We can't relate to Avodah. We think of the Zara generally as there was some type of unexplainable desire to bow down to a piece of metal. To us, we laugh at this. It's nonsense. You're going to bow down to a statue? How do you pass all these busts? You go into a building and they have a bust of some...
Didn't Yeshua already make that accusation? You learned Yeshua.
During the time of Yeshua, there was another Yetzar. The Yetzar of the Zohar was taken away at the time of the Bayis Sheni, in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni.
You can criticize them in Yeshua that you're taking a piece of wood and you're using it for firewood.
Right, but he's
the next piece, you make it into a Bayis Zohar. He ridiculed
them. But he's ridiculing them on an entirely different level. They had a Yetzar. He's saying, think about what you're doing. But they did have a Taiva. For example, you tell a person, in our time, how come the person was unfaithful to his wife? How could it be your wife was so good to you? Logically, look what she did for you. She raised your children and she did this and that for you. And here, that's how you repay her. You're unfaithful to her. So what does the person say? Well, you don't understand. I have a Yetzahara. I have a Taiva. I have a Yetzahara. But we could relate. The person is nichnas by ruach shtos, but we understand a person has a yetzahara. In those days, that's Yishai saying exactly the same thing. How could you be unfaithful to HaKadosh Baruch? Look how good he is to you. Look what he did for you. And instead you take a piece of wood, a piece of metal, you bow down to it. So the Klai Yishol basically responding, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's nonsense. It doesn't make sense. It's nichnas by ruach shtos, but we have a yetzahara. Today, in our generation, we're way beyond that. We don't even have a yetzahara. Today, you have to totally be in the mental institution to bow down to a piece of wood. Because we don't have a yetzahara. What? Okay, that's a different avodah zarah. I'm talking about bowing down to a piece of metal. So it really makes no sense. However, there is an approach now. It's not taking away from the fact that the Yetzer B'Zmanah says bottle time of the Bayis Sheni. We learned Ezra, he came, he realized that Klal Yisrael has sunk to a level that there's no way they're going to survive. So he was mispalel to Hashem. This is a long Gemara discussion, all the details. He was mispalel that the Yetzer for avodah zarah should come to an end, and the Yetzer for Nashim should be diminished. It was diminished to 50% of what it used to be. These are what Chazal tell us. But besides putting that aside, there's another reason why people want to worship idols. Even if you don't have a Yetzirah, you create a new ideology which permits you to enjoy yourself. A person does have a yetzar for arayos, for noshim, but there are rules. Eisha sish is aser. A penuya without kesef, without kiddushin, ksuba is aser. But if we'll invent a new religion, and the rules of the new religion are that under certain circumstances you're allowed to engage in certain forbidden relations. Oh, so then you know, let's do it. Let's bow down to an idol, because the idol represents a certain concept of the stars and the moon and the sun, and then we'll be able to have a new set of rules and do whatever we want. Chazal say that the only reason why Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel was because they wanted to create a new ideology that would permit them to engage in arayos. So here, that's really, you see that pattern here in these psukim. They're coming down to worship Yoash. What are they worshipping Yoash? You're a god. Well, why are you a god? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, you were in the Beis HaMikdash and you survived. So that means that you're connected to Hashem. Is that not so? Because if you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're in the Mekoy Mashina. Hashem does not permit Avodah Zarah, does not permit Asherah, does not permit bowing down to idols, does not permit Arayos. And now they use that. They use this new, the fact that Yoash is an Avodah Zarah, as an excuse to worship the Asherah, to worship Atzavim, to worship other things, which of course certainly led to into other types of Arayos and everything that also became Mutter. It's very strange, because you would think that Avodah Zarah starts rejecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is Avodah Zarah is anything that's not MS. Anything that's not MS is just an excuse to do what you want. It's a very unique type of Avodah Zarah. It's just, it goes to show, brings out the point that Avodah Zarah is just an excuse to break away from the restrictions of the Torah.
And that indulgence, I think, is really a form of self-worship.
Right, right.
All these things,
you love yourself.
They're props. So, but it comes down to self-worship.
It's therefore, an excuse to
do whatever you like.
It's an
extremism, even in our faith.
Yes.
It's also a form of Ajizah.
Absolutely, absolutely. The Rabbi Zweig, once Rabbi Zweig from Boca Raton, is that where he is? Or
Miami.
So he gave a very long drasha describing the Tztokim. We have in the Gemara money, we have the Gemara, the Prushim versus the Tztokim. The Tztokim wanted, with Makbid, Lendafiyom, not long ago, to light up the Ketores before they come into the Kodesh HaKadosh. There was an ongoing battle during the Tkuf of the Bayesheni, the Prushim versus the Tztokim. Many things. Omer and Shabbos. Shai has to be that you start counting the first Shabbos, after Pesach. There are many different issues. And they were a very great threat. They were a very great threat to Klal Yisrael. So yes, the average person, the average Yeshiva Bacha, what would you say the Stoki is today? Try to show me a segment of society in modern times that's the equivalent of the Stoki in the time of the Bayis Sheni. So you'd say conservative, reform, open orthodoxy, who knows what you would say. You'll say something along to the left. That's the average response. Open orthodoxy. Everything is fine and good, but there's something wrong. There's something doesn't seem right. You can't put your finger on it. You know, you have to wait. What's going to be in the 50 years? Maybe then we'll see what happens. That's what you would say. So Rabbi Zweig, he said, no, it's not that he brought Rios. I don't remember all the details. He says that Stokin were extremists to the right. They were extremists. They took the Pasuk literally. Not that they rejected Chazal totally. You know, they did reject Chazal. But they took a very hard line to the extreme right. And Chazal, that's how they were able to mingle. They were able to mingle. What?
The same concept.
The Karoyim, maybe when they were the Karoyim, I think, were more to the left. He didn't talk about the Karoyim.
So the literal translation.
Right, but the Tztokim took the literal translation in a way where they were able to blend into society. You couldn't tell the difference. Who's a Tztoki? Al Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is a Tztoki? How could it be? If a person today, someone's reformed, they mechal Shabbos, they do everything called over us, they don't believe Torah Minas Shemayim, they openly will tell you that all the stories in the Torah never happened. But he'll make it to first base. He's not going to make it to first base. He's not going to get to become the Kohen Gadol. How did they make it so far, all the way to become the Kohen Gadol? The Torah says because they were really heavy-duty Haredim. They were extreme right wingers, and they were corrupt in their understanding of the Torah to the extreme. That's
in Canada. It's Left Ahor.
What?
Heilbronn's group.
I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, Left Ahor. They just ran away from Montreal to Toronto.
Yeah.
The women all dressed up.
The burkas.
It's a cult.
The cult, yeah, so that's what it was. So the same thing here, they're bowing down to Yoash. We're bowing down to you. Look, you were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Mekom HaShuas HaShchina. You survived. And in the beginning, it seemed very good. They got a lot of legitimacy. This is right after the death of Yehoyada, in the lifetime of Zechariah. How were they able to go so far? Because they played the game on the right side. They were even more extreme. It's much easier to be a faker when you go more to the right than when you go to the left. When you go to the left, everyone will start screaming at you. When you go to the right, it takes time to realize you're a fraud. You're just using this to go to your agenda. So here as well, that is what they did. They were extremists to the right. They bowed down. Beis Hamikdash, Kodesh HaKadoshim, Hashuas HaShchina. You're like a god. You're like Moshe Rabbeinu. And then what's the next thing? Asherah, Atzavim, all the worst forms of Avodah Zarah. Vayishtachvu laMelech, O Shama Amelech Aleim Tuma Halchim. The Mefarshim, we're going to see inside a little bit later. Either it means just simple. They pledged their allegiance. They had a nice state dinner, and they gave him an award, and they said, you know, we're lobbying for our. For animal rights, and you be good to us, we'll be good to you. Or no. Vayishtach v'lamelech means it was worship. It was real worship, and that led to what happened at Pasuk Yitches. And Shlomo HaMelech, the king, listened to them. He was influenced by them. What did he do? Ya'azvu es Beis Hashem. He abandoned the Beis Hashem Elokei Avoseihem. He abandoned. Is there a missing vav there, Pasuk? The Vayaz, right? Yazvu is Beis Hashem Elokei Avoseihem. He abandoned the Beis Hashem of the God of the Fathers. The king abandoned. What? The Targum. Let me just. Maybe this print. There's something that's a little bit suspicious here. Yeah, we all have the same. What do you have in your edition?
Because there's no.
You have a Vav? Vayazvu. You have a Vav?
Yeah.
Oh, you have a Vav. How come mine, this one, doesn't have a Vav?
Because
the blue one does. The blue one does. So just it's a missing. I knew something. Something seemed fishy here. Okay. So Vayazvu, and they have been put. They abandoned. Who's they? The king and the people. The king and the people. Vaya. We're just missing a vav. You can see the patach. There's two patachs. The vav is missing. It's a printer's error. Vayazvu space Hashem Elokei Avoseihem Vayavdu es ho'asherim. They worship two things: asherim v'es ho'atzavim, idols. Atzav, an idol is something which makes you sad. Now it makes you happy in the present. I'm very happy to bow down to you. But the years later, when you realize that you were it was a fraud, you wasted your time, money, effort in a belief that was false. So an avodah zara is always in Chazal called something which will ultimately make you sad. Vahi ketzef al Yehuda v'Yushalayim. Hashem was angry. There was anger in Shemayim. There was anger upon Yehuda v'Yushalayim v'Ashmosam zos due to their. Said due to this transgression of abandoning Hashem and worshipping idols, all of this was done out in a very clever way by using the king as a form of Avodah Zarah in a right-wing fashion. It was a very clever technique, which I don't know if we had it ever before. We had never before where people you went to the right in order to go to the left. Pasuk Yotes, Vayishlach Bachem Nevi'im. So what did Hashem do? Does not tell us who the Nevi'im were. Hashem sent to the Jewish people a collection of Nevi'im. Chazal tell us there was 1,200,000 Nevi'im, double the number of people who left Mitzrayim. Throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, when there was Nevuah, we only have 48 of their prophecies are recorded, because the only 48 of them are Nogei L'Doros, are lessons for all future generations. But there were 1,200,000, so here are some of those Nevi'im who said very harsh words to Jewish people, you better stop what you're doing, you better stop going in this direction. L'hashivam, to influence them to do tshuva, El Hashem, Vayoidu Vam, and the witness and the Nevi'im warned them. Warning is always used in the reference of testimony, witnesses, to tell them that if you don't do so, then you will be punished like witnesses. Witnesses carry legitimacy, they have power. Vayu'idu vam, they were warned through them, the prophets, but v'lo yehazinu, the Jewish people refused to listen. Pasuk Chaf. V'ruach Elohim lovsha as Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen. The Spirit of Hashem. Is this prophecy? Not necessarily. Ruach HaKodesh, Sefer Divra Hayamim.
Targum says it's Nevuah.
Okay. Because Sefer Divra Hayamim is Mole, it's Ruach HaKodesh, it's not prophecy. And in fact, this whole episode does not appear in Sefer Melachim, which is very strange. This is a very, very significant event, and it's not mentioned in Sefer Melachim. So if you learn that this whole episode was Ruach HaKodesh, which seems to be so, because Ruach Elohim does not say the word Nevuah, then possibly the whole focus is Ruach HaKodesh, it fits in Divrei Hayam. But if it's more of Nevuah, what's taking place, his words, then l'chore it would fit better in Sefer Melach. But the Targum says it is Ruach is Nevuah, and we have to also be aware that the Targum on the Divrei Hayam is a different type of Targum. It's not the same caliber as the Targum on Nevi'im, and certainly not on the Targum of Chumash. It's written, we don't even know who wrote it. There's a claim, it's called Yosef, Targum. Some of the editions have the name Yosef. Okay, but whatever it is, Baruch Elohim Lavsha Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen. So this is the son of Zechariah who saved Yosh. Vayamod me'al lo'am. He stood on top of the people. There's a lot to be read into these words. Simply, it means he stood on a platform. He went into the Beis Hamikdash. He stood on a platform and he addressed the people. He's called me'al because he was raised up. Chazal are very critical of Zechariah in this pasuk, that he spoke down to the people. This is a very powerful Musa Haskel in how leaders shall talk to the people. I'm sure you've all been by a drasha where a rav or a rebbe is giving Musa to the audience, and he says to them, "I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. I'm just as guilty as everyone here. I don't mean chas v'shalom to talk down to the tzibor. I'm talking to myself." So Chazal, they say that was the mistake. Now, is that proper? Well, you know, it depends. It depends who you're talking to. Sometimes it's better the Rav should say, "You're guilty. I'm talking to you. I want to get my message across here. I'm not just talking to myself, I'm talking to you." But in this instance, Chazal are critical that Yehoyada did not speak to the people with humility. He spoke down to them. He said to all the people, "You're a bunch of good-for-nothings. I'm a tzaddik. I'm a navi. My father was Yehoyada HaKoyen. He was also the Chassan HaMelech. He was married to royalty. I'm not sure who he was married to, but he was related to the kings. It doesn't seem he was married to Yoash's family. Yoash would not have killed him then, but he was married maybe to one of the kings of Yisrael. I do not know who, but it was a little bit too sure of himself, a little bit too arrogant in his approach and his musar to Klal Yisrael, and that's why his words were not accepted and he was killed. Now let's not make any mistake, the act of murder was one of the worst, if not the worst sins in the history of Klal Yisrael since Mechiras Yosef. After Mechiras Yosef, this is probably the next sin, even worse than the eagle. This is the pits. This is one of the major themes in Tisha B'Av. Pay attention to the kinos. The theme of the murder of Zechariah reappears over.
You before that, your ship Shavas Bas HaMelech was Eishes Yehoyada.
Was Yehoshavas HaMelech was Eishes Yehoyada? Right, we mentioned that. Yes.
Right. So
Yehoshavas, who was she? Yeshavas, she was a descendant of, right, so he was from the mother, not from Ben Achar Ben. So he was a descendant from the king Amatsyahu. She was a sister which would make her the son of Yehoram. She was the daughter of Yehoram. Yehoram, that means, so he was a grandson of the king. He was a grandson. Now, he was not eligible to be the melech in Klal Yisrael because he had Ben Achar Ben. His yichus was from the mother, not from the father, but he was a descendant of the Zera David also, from the mother's side. So he was a little bit too sure of himself. a little bit too arrogant. And Chazal explained that's why his Musar was not accepted. The people did this Tkufa. Every generation, every situation is different. You cannot generalize when people are receptive, when they're not receptive. There's so many variables. But in this instance, he was wrong, at least according to Chazal, in speaking down to the people. If he would have been a bit more gentle and said to them, listen, what you're doing here is not right. And maybe I'm also a little bit guilty. It's not the right approach. Then people maybe would have been receptive and it would not have come to what the murder would not have come about. He did not do so. He spoke me'al on, above the people. You lowlifes, you people are a bunch of good for nothings. And you're going to continue in this way, you're going to be dead. And that's why they killed him. Vayom, and all that is hidden to in the words Vayamod, me'al la'am, above the people. Again, simply it means he stood on the platform. Very simple, very nice, very literal. More a deeper interpretation, he was arrogant. I'm better than you.
We were told that the leaders weren't forceful enough. They let the people do their...
That's what I said, you can't generalize. Every situation is different. Absolutely, you can't generalize. In this situation... It was the wrong thing to do. Every tkufa in history, you can be very forceful, but you can be gentle as well. There's a technique, there's a style. We all know that. What?
Tactful.
We all know that. We've all seen hundreds of leaders in our lifetime, and everyone has their approach, and some are better than others. So this is what he was criticized for. Atem oyvim, why are you transgressing its mitzvos Hashem v'loy tzadzich, you'll not be successful. Are these words prophecy or are these words Ruach HaKodesh? Targum nevuah. The pasuk just says Ruach Elokim. V'loy tzadzich, you'll not be successful. Ki azavtem es Hashem, you have abandoned Hashem, and watch out, mida kineged mida, v'yazov eschem, he will abandon you. Zeh toli b'zeh. It reminds me, I saw recently in a Sefer, the pupil of an eye is called the Ishain Bas Oyin. The pupil, why is the pupil called the Ishain? So one of the explanations given by Chazal is because when you're looking at someone, so you see your reflection in the person's eye. Eye is glass, has a glass-like property, and it's round. So you can see yourself, you can see in the pupil of a person's eye a little ish, a little person. Right? When you look at your friend, you're talking to him, you look in the pupil of his eye, you see yourself. You see a little man in there. So the pupil is called the Ishain. Ishain with a nun. Whenever you have a nun at the end of a word in Hebrew, it refers to a miniature. Ishain. Aleph Yud Shin. Ish. Vav. For the vowel. Ishon. Bas Oyin. The little man in the eye. That's the pupil. So why is the pupil called the little man in the eye? So I saw one of the Baal Musar. The more a person guards his eyes, the more a person is careful not to look at things that he's not supposed to look at, mida keneged mida, Hashem guards the ish. Hashem guards the person himself. It's a mida, there's a certain hashkacha, shemira. If you'll guard your eye, I'll guard the ish in the eye. Referring to, it's a little like a mus, it's a cute little vart. I'm reminded of this vart from reading what it says here, you have abandoned Hashem, Mida keneged mida, he will abandon you. Ki azavtem es Hashem v'yazov eschem. So what happened? So here is one of the most horrible psukim, if not the most horrible psukim in the entire Nach. And that is, v'yikshu olav, they conspired. This was not, now, if it was done on impulse, it would not have been so bad. Like Yosef. Yosef, there was a whole plan. They had a Beis Din. They conspired. It was done with machshava. It was done al das Torah. Das Torah, right? A Beis Din. They sat down. Hashem, they took Hashem with them. That's the worst of the worst. When you go and you make it into, you have a plan and you legitimize it with a Beis Din. Here as well, it wasn't just they got angry and someone lost his temper and killed him. Had that been the case, it would have been a terrible sin, but nowhere near what Chazal attribute to what followed from this sin. It's they sat down, they said among themselves, this guy has got to go. And what we're going to do is we're going to set him up for murder. they provoked him in order to do something extreme, which will be the legitimate excuse to have him killed. They conspired. It was done premeditated murder, not impulse. And ultimately he was stoned by by the decree. The king himself, Yoash, the person whose life he owed, person who owed his life to the father of this man, he signed off on the executive order to have him executed. B'mitzvas HaMelech b'chatzar beis Hashem, the courtyard of Hashem. The Targum shed some light exactly what happened. It was, and this is all based upon their many midrashim, it was Yom Kippur. Can you imagine Yom Kippur? And it happened to be Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos, another degree of Kedusha. Yesterday's daf, right? Yesterday's daf was Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos. Ish iti afilu B'Shabbos. Iti afilu B'Shabbos. And he was a Navi. We're not dealing with a simple person. And he was also a Dayan, Chazal tell us.
He was a
Kohen. He was a Kohen. Okay, what else? He was a son of the Kohen Gadol. A whole number of milas. And what did they do? They killed him on Yom Kippur, Shabbos, in the Beis HaMikdash, while he was delivering a drasha. They killed the rabbi at the pulpit. They killed him. This is serious stuff. Why? So the Targum says that what did the people do on that day to provoke him? They set him up. Someone walked into the Beis HaMikdash and said, "Rabbi, it's Yom Kippur." Right? Everyone's learning Daf Yomi. You know the whole Seder Avodah. You go with the blood of Lefnai v'Lefnim and the Ketores and the Pareches and the Mizbeach, the Eloi, the Elam. You know what? We have a new... Today we're not going to do that. That's old-fashioned. We're not going to do that anymore. We have a new service. We're going to bring into the Mikdash and Avodah Zon idol, and we're going to offer Ketores to the idol. Instead of offering Ketores Lefnai v'Lefnim to Hashem in front of the Aron, we're going to offer Ketores to an idol that we're going to bring into the Mikdash on Yom HaKippurim Shechalios B'Shabbos in the presence of this madman, this extremist. So what do you think? You're setting him up. He's emotionally charged, this person, Zechariah. He's a very emotional person, and he sees this on Yom Kippur. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to go crazy. And he did go crazy. And he started screaming at them, and he made a scene. And they said, "This guy is an extremist. We have to take him out." And they called up the king. Emergency! They called the king. The king said, "We have over here a person. I'm shugging. He's assaulting all the people here in the Beis HaMikdash." Well, obviously, he said they set him up for this. What do you expect is going to happen when you bring in an Avodah Zarah and you bring Ketores and Yom Kippur for the Avodah Zarah? So the king said, "We have no choice. Kill him. Kill him. Take him out. Take him out of his misery." So this is what happened, and the pasuk makes it very clear what exactly the sin. The sin is a lack of hakaras hatoiv. Pasuk habeis v'loy zochar Yoash HaMelech. When Yoash signed off on the command to have him killed, he did not remember. He chose not to remember. Yoash HaMelech hachesed, the kindness, asher asa Yehoyada aviv imo, that his father did with him. This person, Zechariah's father, was the one that saved him and hid him at great risk to his life for 6 years in the Beis HaMikdash. Vayaharog es bino, he murdered the son of his person that saved him. Uchimoso Omar, and when Yehoyada was being taken out to be killed, he said, or was killed there on the spot, Yere Hashem v'yidrosh, may Hashem see what's taking place, and may He exact my vengeance. May He take revenge. May He take yidrosh, midoresh my blood, seek out revenge for the blood that has been spilled here today. And indeed, the blood bubbled. The blood was not absorbed into the ground. It bubbled for 250 years. And everything they tried to do could not get the blood to stop bubbling until Nebuzaradan, the chief executioner of Nebuchadnezzar, came to destroy the Mikdash. He saw this blood bubbling. He was curious. He asked the Kohen, "What is this blood?" They told him, "Oh, it's just the blood of an animal, some unusual animal's blood bubbles." He did not believe that. He brought in a forensic lab, mobile forensic lab, all the way from Babylon to conduct tests. and the blood came. The blood is not the blood of an animal, not any animal. It's the blood of a human being. Which human being? And he threatened the crime. If you don't tell me, I'll kill you all right here. And he was able to extract from them the story, what happened 250 years ago. And then the wizard said to the blood, Zachariah, I'll be Mephias you. And he brought out the Kohanim, and he murdered them one by one on top of this blood, and the blood still continued to bubble. And he brought out different segments of Klal Yisrael, one after another, until he brought out 80,000 children. 80,000 young children, and he slaughtered the best of Klal Yisrael, the cream of the crop. And he slaughtered them on top of this blood, and the blood did not stop bubbling until he said, Zachariah, I've already wiped out the best. Do you want me to wipe them all out? And at that point in time, the blood of Zechariah stopped bubbling. It came to an end. So, and in the kinos, we mentioned this in the kinos multiple times. And in fact, there's one kinos called Ayla Laili. Where we go through a whole collection of stanzas where we mention all the different horrors of children, death of children, all different types of children, different ages, all different circumstances. And then the very end of the kina, it says that Klal Yisrael, they complain to Hashem, why did this happen? It's not fair. And Hashem says, yeah, that your complaint I hear, but you don't remember what caused this. You know why this terrible tragedy happened? Because you murdered a Navi and a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash in Yom HaKippur when he was preaching not to worship Avodah Zarah. But it's not just that. The deeper meaning is what the Pasuk here says. It was a lack of Hakaras HaToiv to Yehoyada. The only reason why Klal Yisrael has a Mashiach ben David is because of Yehoyada. Asalia would have, in a heartbeat, would have killed Yoash. He risked his life. It's only because of him. He raised him for six years. And then after he became king, he made him king. And he raised him. And he guided him. And this is what you do to his son? To his son? Is that the Hakaras HaTov you have to a father? I always mention this to you. Today you would say, what was probably Yoash saying? Yoash was probably saying, listen, it's a new generation. That was the father, and this is the son. Just because the father is a doctor, you're going to go make the son a doctor? If the son doesn't go get into a good medical school, and doesn't go for residency, doesn't have a fellowship, and doesn't have a practice, I'm not going to go to him as a doctor. It's nonsense. Isn't that the mentality today? And it's true to a certain degree. If you have to make it your own way. That's the way in society we look at it today. Very nice. I like the father. He was a great guy. But the son is the son. It's a different generation. I have absolutely no obligation. That's true to a certain degree. But it's not true in another very powerful sense. If you would ask the father, let's say you would say to the father, who's about to die, what could we do to repay you? What would you like? Do you like a good steak? Would you like some money? What would you like? A new car? What do people care about? People care about their children. That's the fact. That's there's nothing a person cares about more than his children. At least do me the chesed, take care of my son. I'm not asking you that you should go to him as a doctor, you should make him a lawyer, you should make him give him a shtela, but at least don't murder him. At least the same way you care about your children, at least have rachmanis in my children. That's the very least. That's the very least you can do to repay a person. So this was viewed as the ultimate lack of hakara satoif. And it is the worst sin since Mechiras Yosef, which Klal Yisrael never was able to wiggle out of. And it continues to be a skeletons in the closet for us. Ad Hayom Hazeh, yeah.
I guess I'm trying to understand, why does Hashem's revenge go so far?
Because it must be that it represents, it's a midah. When it comes to midos, we find the Torah goes to the extreme. It's the worst thing. It's the worst thing possible. It's a total of anyone that's kafui in the toiv of his friend will come to become an apikores. You'll come because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate benefactor. Kadosh Baruch Hu is molichas goimel chasodim tovim. Person doesn't have a sense to be makir that someone did him a favor. It'll come ultimately to deny the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a very famous story with the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer, there was no one like the Chassam Sofer. His birthday was not so long ago. His 250th birthday, not his death, was I think 2 years ago. They had a presser. They had a ceremony. I think they even minted a coin in honor of him. 250 years since he was born. And the Chassam Sofer was one of the most powerful rabbanim in modern history, in modern times. And he did a lot of chesed, an enormous amount of chesed for everyone imaginable. And he had a lot of enemies also, as you can imagine. All the good rabbanim have people on their tail. And he had people that they gave him a lot of tzaras. So there was one particular Baal HaBas that gave him a very hard time. Was Roidev, so he commented to one of his friends, "I can't understand why he hates me so much. I didn't do anything good for him. He do someone a favor. The bigger the favor, the more they hate
no
you.
Good deed goes
no good deed goes unpunished. The bigger the favor, the more they hate you. You learn that over here. Who did the ultimate favor? Yehoyada. And who was the ultimate redifa? Ultimate lack of hakaras tov was Yoash. Chassam Sofer says, I don't understand why he hates me. If I did him a tov, I saved his life. Okay, it's human nature. There's a certain hatred you have that you owe someone. You did me a chesed, I owe you. I owe you. So some people, they let it get to their head. They go meshuga. They lose. They go crazy. They can't deal with it. So they go to the other extreme. But I didn't do him any tov. So it doesn't make any sense why he should hate me so much.
I'm trying to get to the length of the
generation
when the punishment comes.
So he's saying it's only for four generations. So 250 years is more than four generations. But it stops there. It doesn't go down for 250 years. So why here?
Because the blood was there the whole time, and everyone ignored it. You walked all these generations. We went to the
all the kings were unable.
They knew the blood's there, and they said, "Okay."
Why Hashem ignored it?
Hashem did ignore that. Hashem brought the Chorban because of the blood. But the 80,000, can you imagine what Klai Yisrael will be like today if those 80,000 children didn't die? We're dealing with pure tzaddikim. The Chazal say these children were who they were. They were the best of the best. Today, can you imagine what Klai Yisrael would look like today if those 80,000 children were, like I mentioned Rav Schwab last week, what would we be today had they remained alive? They were all killed because of this chait. I don't know the answer. Midos maybe is an exception. When it comes to a sin, maybe there is four generations. When Avraham told Eliezer, get me a zivuk for my son Yitzchak, don't take from the Benos, don't take care from the people where we live here, go back to Aram ben Canaan, because they have bad midos. They're the worst of the worst. Go back with the Ovid of Odezara. Ovid of Odezara, it's not so bad. Ideology, that we can always fix. But the midos, that you can't fix. This is a midah, a horrible midah which never went unforgiven. Now we have over here Per Pasach of Gimel, we have a whole different collection of different punishments. Midah, Kineged Midah, where Hashem did not take this lightly. We're going to see a lot of that in the next coming Sukkim and Mepharshim. Vahi Pasach of Gimel, Vahi Liskufas Hashana. It was exactly a year to the day. And that was part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling them, I'm now going to punish you. And when you look on the calendar, you'll know why I'm punishing you. I don't want, oh, it's just going to happen 5 years later in the middle of the summer, middle of the winter. No, on the one-year anniversary of the murder of Zechariah, there was a terrible tragedy. There was a war. Aram, Olo, Olov, Chel, Aram, the army of Aram came, they waged war against the Jewish people, Vayavo el Yehuda v'Yushalayim, Vayashchisu es Sorei Ha'am Me'am, and they wiped out all of the leaders. There was a war, and we'll go into this in a few moments, that the war, they came with only a few soldiers, just a couple of soldiers, and Klal Yisrael was nervous, so they sent out overkill. They sent out the whole army. They mobilized the whole army. They called all the reserves. Everyone went out to battle. It should have been a piece of cake to wipe out a couple of hoodlums, thousands of soldiers versus a couple of 10 people. And miraculously, the few soldiers from Aram wiped out all of the elite. The best soldiers, the leaders, the generals were killed. And when did this happen? On the anniversary, the 1 year anniversary of the murder of Zechariah. It was a simin min hashamayim. Hashem was furious at what had taken place, and he's going to punish Klal Yisrael. That was the 1 year anniversary. When we'll see inside. So there are many mahalchim what this means. Sorry, ha'am, the leaders of the people, me'am, from among, we'll learn now from the moment, like the Mitzudos, from among the whole Klal Yisrael. There were maybe 100,000 soldiers, and the only ones that were killed were the generals. Are you talking the generals? There are 100 generals that were killed? How could that possibly be? It's the Malo Medera Chateva, that the best soldiers were killed? Mei Ha'am and everyone else survived? Doesn't make sense, such a thing. It must be the Yad Hashem. V'chol shilolam shilchu l'melech dar mosek, and all of the spoils of the Jewish people were taken, were seized, and sent to the king of Aram. The king of Aram is, Dar Mosek was the capital of Aram. Kiv Mitzad, the pasuk makes it very clear. Kiv Mitzad. Mitzad means small, few in number. This was Lamala Miderech HaTeva. Kiv Mitzad Anoshim Bo Chil Aram. Few in number did the army of Aram come up against the Jewish people. V'Hashem Nosan Biyadam Chil Larov Ma'od. And Hashem delivered in their hands these people of massive army of Klal Yisrael. Why? It was a punishment. The punishment for Ki Ozues Hashem Elokei Avoseihem, they abandoned Hashem Elokei Avoseihem by worshipping Avodah Zarah, and more specifically for the chait, the ultimate abandonment of Hashem was murdering Zechariah. And here's a frightening pasuk, V'yes Yoash Asu Shifotim, they punished, they sat in judgment. He was captured by the king of Aram, and they mocked him, and they judged him, and they punished him. It could be they demanded money, who knows what they did to him. There's a Chazal, it's quoted here in the Moses, it's also quoted by Rashi in Yecheskel, the Moses of Rashi in one of the editions of the Megillas Gedolos, where they took him from Mishkav Zohar. They took the king of the king Yoyosh, this holy person who sat in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years, who was worshipped initially as a god, and they took him and they humiliated him to the extreme. The worst form of humiliation in this world is Mishkav Zohar. The worst thing you can do to a person. And that's what they did to him to show him up. And this was Mida Keneged Mida. You make yourself into a god, you're nothing. You're nothing. They'll do with you Mishkav Zohar. Pasuk Chaf Hei. Uvelechta Mimenu. Uvelechta is a very scary thing. Society. You know, you see over here, Chazal, look at Mishkav Zohar. They look at Mishkav Zohar as mamish, the extreme opposite of any degree of Kedusha, of any attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You think you're a God, you're the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the extreme opposite, the lowest of the low is Mishkav Zohar. Unfortunately, it's very scary in society where everything goes. Everything is legal, everything is fine. It's a frightening thing when you see how Chazal look at it. Pasuk Chafei, uvelechta mimenu, and when they left him, they didn't take him with, they didn't take him home, with, they didn't kill him. It's a greater punishment to live and suffer. That's pashut. It's worse often to live and suffer than to die. And especially when they're captured by the enemy. The enemy, they tortured him, and they brought upon him diseases. They infected him with the most horrible diseases. They infected him with, okay, could be, whatever it says, they infected him and they left him. Yeah, you go back. Go back to your palace and suffer for the rest of your life instead of us killing you here on the spot. Uvelechta mimenu, when they departed, ki ozvu oso, they abandoned him, bimachaluyim rabim, with horrible illnesses, ill diseases. And at that point in time, his troubles first began. What was the next tzara? His people, they realized, they recognized how foolish they were in worshipping him, and his leadership was an ultimate failure, so they decided, we're going to kill him. Enough of this guy already. And they conspired against him. Normally, generally in history, when there's a conspiracy, you have someone in mind. Who do you have in mind? An outsider. We no longer want to continue this line of king of Malchus. The line is going down. Who's the next in line to become king? His son. We don't want this family anymore. We're going to conspire. We're going to murder the king, and we're going to appoint our candidate. Isn't that normally the way? That's normally the way it goes in coups and in rebellions and conspiracies. But here they conspired to kill him, so they could immediately appoint his son, because he was so bad. They were so sick of him, they couldn't wait until he'll die natural. It may take a couple of years until he'll die a natural death. We want him to die now, so we can make his son immediately the king, which is very unusual. Why did his
servants conspire against him? It was in punishment for bidmei bnei Yehoyada hakohen,
in punishment, in retaliation for the murder of the children, the murder of Zechariah. They're taking revenge. These people here are taking, either it means a different interpretation of Chazal, either the Navi is speaking, or it's Shricha Kodesh, that he was murdered, Mida Kineged Mida, he murdered Zechariah, so therefore he also has to die as a victim of murder.
Why
did it say Bnei Yehoyada? Excellent question. We'll question deal this. The simplest answer is, even though he only had one son, we only have record that Yehoyada had, that only one son was murdered. The pasuk back in the previous parak mentioned that he took for himself two wives, and he had bonim ubonos, many children. But we only find that he murdered one. We only find that one of his sons was murdered, Zechariah. And here it says the retaliation was done for the murder of the multiple children of Yehoyada. So there are different interpretations. One is that we're only referring to Zechariah, and it's not so uncommon in Tanakh. We refer to one person, Blushin Rabim, Ubnei Don Chushim. That's the most popular example. The sons of Don were Chushim. What? Were? Bnei? Children? Were? There's only one son, Chushim. So we see that it's a style of writing in the Torah to refer to a son, B'lashon Rabim. That's one approach. Other Mefarshim read a lot more into this, that Yoash murdered not just Zechariah, he murdered all of his brothers and sisters. He murdered them all. He was in such rage that Zechariah was in opposition to his Malchus. He felt that if he would not murder the brothers, they would conspire against him and kill him. This is very common in ancient times. Anyone that's a threat has to be eliminated. Very violent times. And now he's being punished for the Bnei. A third interpretation, which is a very powerful idea, is that when it says Bnei, it means all of the children that would have been born, all the future generations. By murdering Zechariah was a very young man at this point in time, he did not yet have children. And had Zechariah lived, he would have married, maybe he was married, he would have had children. So by murdering Zechariah, you did not just murder one person, you murdered all of the descendants that would have come from Zechariah. So you'll ask me, every time someone is murdered, you can say the same thing, and you don't find in Tanakh, when people die, we refer to the plural, all of those that come from this one person. So the answer I saw in the Mishmas Zav and Sefer Melachim, it explains, it references this pasuk here in Devar Hayamim, is that this is Mida Keneged Mida. What did Yehoyada do for Yoash? Yehoyada didn't just save one person. He saved the Malchus of David. He saved the Zera of David. He saved Melech HaMashiach. He saved a whole line, a whole line of children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Ad Biaskol Mashiach Mamish. So now, specifically in this instance, normally when a person dies, of course, every person that dies, you can say the same thing. You've killed not one person, you've killed millions of people that can come from this one person. Who knows what can come from one person? But we don't refer to them. We refer to one person. But in this instance, the Mida Keneged Mida, we do refer to all of the descendants, because that's exactly what Yehoyada did for Yoash. I save Yoash plus the Zera of David forever.
Mimela now when we're going to refer to the crime of you having lack of hakaras hatov and killing Yehoyada's child, Zechariah, we're going to hold you accountable not just for Zechariah, but all of the tzaddikim, all the people that would have come from Zechariah until the end of days. So that's three different approaches.
Was still alive, right?
No, he was not alive. This never would have happened had he been alive. He died. That's where we started today. Pasuk Tezvav. Vayiskan Yehoyada vayispa yam vayamos. He died, Yehoyada. And after he died, that's when Yoyash went sour.
Okay.
If Yehoyada was alive, then this never would have happened. Yoyash would not have turned sour. He always would
have. He wouldn't have said Nevuah. He wouldn't have passed the.
He wouldn't have had. The whole thing would have happened to begin with. The whole thing wouldn't have started because Yehoyada was there. He would never have allowed the people to worship Avodah Zarah. It was under. So okay, so this is the okay. Let's go further. So this is Vayamo. So they killed him. Vayahargu. Now it says over here, Hiskashu Olav Avodah. They conspired, Bidmei. In retaliation for the blood of Bnei Yehoyada HaKohen, which refers to Zechariah and possibly his brothers, Vayaharguhu al mitaso, they killed him. They killed the king, the sick king, Yoyash, who was suffering from different types of illnesses, diseases, al mitaso, Vayamos, and he died. Vayikberuhu bi'ir David, he was buried bi'ir David, Veloi kivaruhu bi'kivaris hamalachim, he was not buried with As a state, the whole thing, they didn't do that for him, and the sepulcher of the kings, because they viewed him as a Rasha. They viewed him as not worthy of being buried with his great ancestors because of the terrible sins that he was responsible for. That there's also a Mida Keneged Mida, that he died lying on his bed, just lying there. Without any struggle, he got a very was not heroic death. Person has to go, might as well die, you know, in ceremony. Rabbi Akiva, he died Kiddushim Shanayim. He died at war. Yoshiyahu, he went to war. You know, there's something to dying. Derech Kavod. Here he died a very undignified. Just lying on his bed, he's a sick man. He's died. He's old, and someone comes and kills him. It was Mida Kineged Mida.
How old was he?
How old? Young. How old could he probably? We learned. It says he. How old was the king for?
42.
How old? Yeah, we will come across it again soon. He was.
How old was
40 years old?
He was king for 40 years.
For 40 years, that means that he was 47 years. So 47, or 46, 47, 46, 47, 40, 47 years.
He wasn't king
until
he was 7, right?
Until he was 7 years. Some say he was 6, and he's in the 7th year. Some say when it says 7th year, means in the 7th year, he was 6 years old. So either 47 or 46 years old. This is Mida Kinegan Mida, because Zechariah did not imagine that he would be murdered. That's how they, we will see them tomorrow, the Mefarshim here on this pasuk. When Zechariah was giving Musar, he was standing at the podium, and he was giving Musar, Rabbi Sai, what are you doing? How dare you worship Avodah Zarah? He wouldn't imagine his wildest dreams that suddenly someone would throw a stone and kill him.
That's a problem.
What?
That's a big problem.
He had no fear.
If you're giving Musar, you don't know what the reaction of people are going to be. They're going to love me for telling them this. You're out of it, man.
He didn't expect it. He died. He died without any warning. He was secure in his position, and they murdered him without. It was unexpected. So Mida Kineged Mida, Yoyash also died without any warning.
He thought he was Avodah Zarah, and then he
all of a sudden he was dead.
Dumped him in a.
He wakes up and he's dead. He wakes up and someone said, you get a certain age. You know, there are little things that hurt. My leg hurts, this hurts, that hurts. It's good. If a person gets a certain age, he's 90 years old, and he wakes up and things hurt. This hurts, that hurts, a little ache. It's good. Because if you're 95 years old and you wake up in the morning and nothing hurts, it means you're dead. So this was unexpected. Unexpected that such a thing happened to him. Mida k'neged mida. Let's finish the psukim. Ve'elu hamiskashrim alav. It's very strange. We give honorable mention. We give honorable mention to the murderers, the people who actually took him out, put him out of his misery. Ve'elu hamiskashrim alav zavod ben shimos ho'amo. No, this is important. It's not this important. I'll explain in a moment. Zavos ben Shimos Hamoinis from the nation of Ammon, the Hoizovod ben Shimris Hamoavis. Ammon and Moav. So we'll see tomorrow in the Mefarshim why Midik and it's because Ammon and Moav, they are the nations from the entire world that are experts in the lack of Hakaras HaTayef. Because Avram risked his life to save their father, Lot. Avraham, he gave up everything, it was a suicide mission. To go and risk his life to go, he heard that his dad Lot was captured to save his life. And what came from Lot? Ammon and Moav. And this of Ammon and Moav. Ammon and Moav, they attack Klal Yisrael. They don't look like Kidmu Eschem, Balechem V'mayim. When Klal Yisrael needs just a piece of bread and some water, they don't come and greet them. And they come and attack all the years. When Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, they attack. What's your business? It's not your land. Canaan is not the land of Ammon. What are you coming to attack? What kind of Hakaras HaTayev is that? So here, let Ammon and Moav, who don't know from Hakaras HaTayev, let them come and murder Yoash, who also doesn't know from Hakaras HaTayev. Yoash, who murdered Zechariah ben Yehoyada. It's appropriate. That's why we mention these two people's names. And the last passage concludes with one of all of the stories. You want to know all the... We're only giving you here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim a teeny little glimpse into the life of Yoash. If you really want to know all the details, the unedited, uncensored edition of Yoash, you got to go check it out. Uvanov, the story of Yoash's sons, he had children. Some learn that Uvanov refers to the son of, it really refers to what he did to Zechariah, the sons of, who's Banov? Banov either was the sons of Yoash himself, the next king, or Uvanov is the son of Yehoyada, who was referring specifically to Zechariah, the in Yirev Hamasa Olaf. There's an unusual expression, which means the abundance of prophecy. There were many prophets that came forward in the lifetime of Yoash to warn him not to continue down this evil path. There was much prophecy that was said concerning him. If you want to read about those prophecies, check it out. Go online and you'll find it somewhere. The Soid Beis Ho'elokim, and the story of how he rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. This, he was successful. He rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. He was Mechadesh, not just Lechazek, we learned yesterday, but was Mechadesh the Beis HaMikdash. If we rebuilt the foundations, Hinom Kisuvim al Midrash Sefer HaMelachim. On the Midrash. Midrash is, that's a term that's used in Divrei Hayamim, unique to Divrei Hayamim, a way to refer to other books. Other books which are not holy, they're not holy books, which have a record of events that took place during this period of time, and it's Midrash to seek out the details of the story of the Melachim, and who took his place, Vayimloch Amatziyahu Vino Tachtav, and that leads us into the next king. So tomorrow we'll go through the Mefarshim, the Sudras, the Rashi, Radak, on this very black episode in our history.